Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Paul Nichols. I'm your host. You are listening to It's Your Money, the financial podcast that was designed to pull back the curtain on the industry and expose the truth about money and investing. I hope this finds you well. Well, I'm back again. What do you think of this? Back-to-back weeks. Man, I am back on track, hopefully. Well, we're off to a good start. My intent is to get with you every week and give you at least a market update. And today, I've got an added little nugget, long-term care plan design. I'm going to give you a couple nuggets and observations that I have observed over the last almost two decades when it comes to planning for long-term care and some of the reactions that people have, and a couple nuggets that might help you enrich your understanding of how to go about dealing with probably the biggest emotional event that we'll ever deal with in our life. Has to be care by far. Death is, there's finality to that, obviously, except for the people that are left, but time does heal that, where care, boy, it can just tear you apart emotionally, family-wise, financially. But anyway, let me get back to the market update. Market update. Why are we doing this? Well, the intent is to give you one source you can go to and get a well-rounded understanding of how the market is performing up to date that year. And we go to the several different index, or indice in plural, and give you an idea of where we are year to date for the market. The intent is, when you look at investing from an academic perspective, it's relatively simple in steps. Understanding is takes more to get it, but in steps, it's relatively three simple rules to investing. One would be, of course, own equities or stocks and bonds. The other would be to diversify and understand the academic truths of the idea of dissimilar price movement, umbrella, suntan lotion. And then the third item is to rebalance and realize that there are going to be fluctuations in the market, and that panic often can be someone else's profit, because in fact the stock market is a zero sum game, meaning in order for someone else to win, someone else has to lose. Because in reality, we're all in the same market. In other words, you know, when the year's over, we look at what the returns were for that year, we were all involved in the same market that took place that year. Whether or not you got market returns, better than market returns, or less than market returns, depends on whether or not you were really capturing the returns that were there in the market. So without getting too complex, we believe returns come from the market, not from managers. We believe that prudence dictates that you own an entire global diversified broad-based portfolio, meaning you own stocks and investments in all 45 countries, both emerging and developed, in the U.S., in Canada, that you own small companies and large companies and growth companies and value companies, and you have fixed investments, and you understand that we live in a global marketplace, and that investing success comes from market returns. So the market update's important, because as we go along throughout the year, it's nice to know how the market's doing. You know, if I'm going to go on into this thing trying to get market returns, and it'd be nice to know how the market's doing, because all I ever see on the nightly news report, if you just watch the nightly news, that is, old school, so to speak, would be the Dow Jones and the S&P 500, which are two very popular index. However, they're only there to show us what's happened in the U.S. large growth area. Dow is made up of 30 large, what they would call mega cap companies today, you know, your big monster companies, where the S&P 500 is made up of predominantly large U.S. growth companies. So when you hear how those two areas are doing, that's wonderful. You hope that it's up, but the reality is that should be just a sliver, a portion, a piece of the pie, so to speak. Well, how are these indexes or indice doing so far for June 8th, 2015? Well, let's see what they are. They're a little off from last week. In fact, the Russell 2500, which measures small to very small U.S. growth companies, is down from last week. It's 5.25. It's down a little bit. The only area that's up, ladies and gentlemen, from last week's market update, now for year-to-date, this would be, by the way, as of June 8th, 2015, year-to-date. So basically the first five full months of the stock market. The S&P 2000, which is small to very small companies, is the only area that's really up from last week. It's 4.6. Now, many are up. In fact, everything's up for the year, but as of last week, 4.6%. So very small companies are doing well. So are mid to small companies doing well. The Russell 1000, this looks at large value companies, not growth, but value companies. You want to be invested in growth companies and value. Both have what's referred to as a premium for the risk you're taking, a quantifiable risk premium. If you'd like to learn more about that, then dig around on our website or contact us. But the Russell 2000 value, large value is 0.21%. So it's the laggard of all the asset classes as of June 8th, 2015. The next one would be the Russell 2000. This would be small value, not large value, but small value. And it's up just shy of 1% for the year, about even from last week. S&P 500 is down. From last week, but only 1% for the year. So U.S. large, really, as of basically yesterday, I'm recording this on the 9th, 6-8, what we have is a pretty flat U.S. large area, up 1% for the year. When we go to the international, in the world index, that would be predominantly developed markets, the Morgan Stanley Capital International World Index, that's up 2.5%. The emerging markets index, Morgan Stanley Capital International, is up 2.17%, and the winner, winner, chicken dinner for the international arena would be the Morgan Stanley Capital International Europe, Australia, Far East, the EFA. So what we have is roughly five on the high side in the U.S. and five on the high side in internationally, and then on the low side internationally, about 2% on the low side, about 0.25% domestically. However, the good news, ladies and gentlemen, is the market is up as a whole for the year. So far, we are still in single digits across the board. There's still opportunities to get into the double digits. Of course, we could go the other way. We never know what's going to happen in the market. We do know this. We do know that it has a two-thirds bias. Two out of every 3 years is up, one out of every 3 years is down. Now, we never know till hindsight which one is which from year to year. But it is extremely rare. In fact, there's only one occurrence that I've found and doing the research we've done where the market's down 3 years. In an aggressive portfolio in the 2000s, it was down for 1 3-year stint, but nowhere else globally across the marketplace, as it relates to whole market. We're talking about the entire global marketplace. So the market's good. It gives and it takes us away, but it always hits new highs. It's like walking up a flight of stairs with the yo-yo. Wow, I'm already 9 minutes into this. My goodness, let me get into my long-term care deal. You know, I had a friend of mine many years ago used to say half a loaf's better than none. And maybe you've heard the old saying, it implies that it's better to get half of something than to lose out only accepting the whole. I often think of this phrase when I'm designing long-term care plans. You see, long-term care as a fiduciary advisor, fee-only, we developed folks' financial plans for their retirement, risk management, income tax management, different areas. And this long-term care issue is always a tough one because we never know until the final analysis what was needed. We don't know whether there was a long-term care event, whether there wasn't, whether it boils down statistically where out of 10 people, 3 will have a sudden demise, 7 will linger, so to speak, and the lingerers are the ones, the clingers or lingerers are the ones that really need more of the long-term care planning, not the ones that have a sudden demise. But again, you don't know this until hindsight's 20/20 and you look back on it. So the prudent play would be, well, what, when I'm looking at developing a long-term care plan, I want to stick my head in the sand here. So what would be the prudent way to approach it? Well, when you look at it, long-term care planning and design, there's only four ways to handle it. You can self-insure, use your savings. Hopefully you have family potentially that might could help, whether that be an immediate family or perhaps distant family. Some of us have communities. Some of us have church families. Okay, so some might have family. Medicare, potentially Medicaid, depending on your financial situation. And then insurance. So really it's family helping some. Medicare or Medicaid. Medicare only offers 100 days. Only 8% of the people ever qualify for that 100 days. Medicaid's for those that are financially indigent. So really for most people, it's self-insured, family, and insurance. And the challenge is when you start to look at insurance, long-term care specifically, it's one of the harder to get. It's the most used by far, other than life insurance, obviously. But of the different insurances that we buy, the auto, home, health, etc., it's more often used than any of the others statistically. Long-term care is the number one reason people are wiped out financially. It's the number one reason for depression amongst elderly caregivers, that is, the spouses. So I believe it's just prudent to look at using not all one's cash for the potential event, but rather a mixture of, well, a family will help and some of my money and a long-term care plan. But when you go to design these plans, the companies want you to design Cadillacs. Well, that's fine and dandy if I have that risk, but what about the premium I'm paying along the way? Is it really palatable? So I believe when one starts to look at long-term care design, they really need to ask themselves a very simple question. Does insurance have a play as a component in my plan? I don't want to risk all my money. I'm willing to give a premium to an insurance company to hedge some of the risk, but it needs to be palatable. So we encourage people to look at co-insured plans. That is, rather than going and buying a Cadillac for all the risk, let's buy a Chevrolet that we know is inadequate, but the premium's more palatable. If I have an event, which is statistically strong between my wife and I, then I'm not using all my money. I'm using the insurance company's pool of money as well as some of the advocacy that comes with that. On the other hand, if I don't have a care event at all, I didn't have these large premiums and nothing to show for it. I had more palatable premiums, kind of like the auto, home, and health, that allowed me to find some peace in realizing I had a plan and, you know, the lack of peace that comes from writing the checks to provide that plan. So with that idea in mind, I want to encourage for some of you, you know, I had an underwriter tell me many years ago, people buy long-term care insurance or any insurance with their money. They buy it with their health, they pay for it with their money, is the point this person made to me. And that oftentimes people will wait till it's too late to go try to go through the health underwriting part and find out that they're not insurable or they're rated and it costs more money. So I would encourage you, if you're 50 or older and listening to these podcasts and you haven't done any long-term care planning, let me encourage you to check out some of the blogs on our website, FAI Coach. And if you'd like to learn more information, give us a call. We have an out-of-the-box approach at looking at long-term care insurance. I would rather have a Cadillac plan with a palatable premium. I'm sorry, a Chevrolet plan with a palatable premium rather than a Cadillac plan with a large premium because I don't know until later whether I'm going to need it at all. So just my little coaching nugget for this week. I hope this finds you well. 15 minutes, that's not too bad. Market update. If you'd like to learn more about an academic approach, a really a common sense approach to retirement planning, estate planning, risk management, tax planning, advanced different tax strategies and wealth strategies, then I encourage you to check out our website, faicoach.com, or call our office, 814-867-5745, and learn more about how you can go through some of our courses, some of our training, and get a better understanding of what's going on. You know, you don't need to know everything, just a few right things. So you don't need to go study the entire financial arena in most cases to figure out the couple things that you may need to complement your overall peace of mind, well-being, and financial plan. With that being said, this is Paul Nichols, the president of Financial Abundance, a registered investment advisory firm located in the heart of Pennsylvania, State College, PA. I hope this finds you well. Have a great day. We'll talk to you next time.